gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
Headlines worth talking about.
Oh, how y'all doing? Let's see. What's in the news today?
Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com. Get twice the size ring for half the price of all of those other big box stores. When you go to Kriegel Mesh, everything's by appointment only. Go in, talk Chiefs with the guys. No high-pressured sales staff or anything like that. Design the ring you want. Give them a budget. They'll make it work at Kriegel Mesh.
Clark Hunt was speaking yesterday. We all thought that it was just the typical media day. Kling threw me off because he was talking about Andy Reid talking all day yesterday.
Yeah, I thought that was a day off. They do all that today because of the Monday night game. Everything backed up today.
Everything got pushed back.
As Vermeil used to say,
Wednesday is a Thursday. Thursday is a Friday. Yeah. Friday is a Saturday.
He used to explain that to us very well.
Every week it was fantastic. Well, Wednesday will be a Thursday this week. Thursday will be a Wednesday. And
indeed,
Tuesday will be a Sunday.
That's true. So Wednesday this week is actually a Thursday.
No, Thursday is a Wednesday.
Thursday is a Wednesday.
Yeah. Friday is a Thursday. Saturday is a Friday. Sunday's a... Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're backed up. So
you will see... You will hear from Andy Reid today coming up around 11:40 on Show and Vern. So... keep it locked right here on 610 Sports Radio, your exclusive home of the NFL here in Kansas City. We're the only people that really care about football. I don't know anybody else broadcasting in Kansas City that gives one, two, maybe even three iotas about it.
No, they don't. And we have a doubleheader for you. We have Houston and Washington at noon, and then the big showdown, Denver versus the Chargers in the late game on Sunday only and exclusively here on the official station of the NFL, 610 Sports Radio.
Astounding to me, too. The Chiefs are playing some great football. You figure more people would care about the NFL
just
in this
station.
Just us. 610 Sports Radio. Clark Hunt, though, speaking yesterday, he did get your audio fix. I'm sure Binkley was very excited as well.
Yeah.
Clark Hunt had loose pants on yesterday.
Did he?
Yes. You know, he had those tearaways just in case.
He did. Oh, Clark speaking. Let me put my sweats on.
Clark Hunt, though, he was pretty adamant the players were the reason for the move.
I would say it's 100% player safety. That's really what the decision was about, was not having the players playing on a field that wasn't safe. And that's true with any field evaluation. That's really the foremost consideration.
So the NFL's biggest consideration and reason for moving the game from Mexico City was player safety. Mm-hmm. I think that'll be the narrative we're pitched regardless of what the actual reason was. I tend to agree with that, though. But Clark Hunt was asked, hey, did you hear complaining from Chiefs players?
I had not. Oh. I read some of the articles. I think they were mostly citing players from the Rams, but I'm sure our guys were worried about it, too, as they heard the field may not be in great shape.
I didn't think guys in sports read what was being said in the media.
They don't.
Though.
They don't. They don't listen to the radio. They don't read the paper. They don't watch ESPN. I don't recall seeing articles that cited specific players.
No, they just said a
prominent or
prominent
something.
Or superstar player, star big name player, something like
didn't
that.
Didn't name a team, didn't name anything.
Could have been somebody from the Giants. Could have been Eli Manning calling Shefty going, I wouldn't play in that game if that was down there.
Thank you.
You know? So we don't know where they were coming from.
Clark Hunt, though, he did add that they knew about those conditions for a while.
Worked with the NFL over the last several weeks. And when the concerns first surfaced 2 or 3 weeks ago, the league and the Rams sent their personnel down there, inspected the field, talked to the folks at Estadio Azteca about trying to improve it, and unfortunately it just didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm not buying that, Clark. Here's the deal. You knew 2, 3 weeks ago or several weeks, as you said, you sent people down there. What did they do? They went, well, let's hope nobody sees this until everybody gets down here. Channel 9 being down there blew the lid off of this thing. ESPN getting video of the field and what it looked like down there blew the lid off of this thing. The players found out about it and went, whoa, wait a second here. We're not playing on that, so we're not going. The Players Association got involved and said, we're not sending our players down here. It really, 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 really upsets me that the NFL's known about this for a couple of weeks and did nothing, and we're basically going to try to pull the wool over everybody's eyes and have these teams show up and they go, oh, man, we're already here. We got to play the game anyway. So that's kind of a bad look by the NFL with its players, that they were trying to pull the wool over their players' eyes for the last couple of weeks, not acknowledging that the field was in bad shape and trying to do something about it up until the last minute where they got some grounds crew guy throwing grass seed down.
Seems like they left it up to the stadium and they didn't do anything. They weren't monitoring them. It's on their watch. Certainly, it's not their stadium. So, but they, if they have a game coming up, you think they would like send an advanced crew, and it sounds like that they were very late in doing that.
Well, it sounds like they sent the advanced crew a couple of weeks ago, and the advanced crew came back and said the field's in pretty bad shape. I don't think we can play there. And they go, don't tell anybody. Let's just try to pull this one off.
Spent 3 days now talking about grass.
Yep.
Really excited about this.
Who cares?
That'll get going on Monday night, by the way. But Thursday night football kicking off, what is this, week 12?
Week 11.
Week 11? Yeah, that's week right. 11, yep. Week 11 in the NFL. The 4-4-1 Packers traveling to the 4-5 Seahawks. 7:20, the kickoff tonight for Thursday night football. Over in baseball, Cy Youngs were passed out last night. I don't know who's really paying attention to this right now, but... Jacob DeGrom, your NL winner. Blake Snell of the Rays, the winner in the American League. Both of them earning their first Cy Young.
Yeah, DeGrom should have gotten it. I mean, he was the best pitcher. It was a very Zach Greinke type of year for Jacob DeGrom. His win-loss record was nothing spectacular. And you shouldn't be judged on your win-loss record when you're a starting pitcher, when your ERA is below 2 like it was, you know, for most of the year for Jacob DeGrom. So congratulations, the writers, Major League Baseball, whoever hands out the Cy Young Award. They got it right. Blake Snell, congratulations to you too, sir.
A little bit of basketball news for you. LeBron James making some history last night.
LeBron, here he goes into the lane. And count it goes, it goes! He's tied Wilt for number 5, and he can pass him with a free throw. Now with this free throw, LeBron James will become the 5th leading scorer in NBA history, passing the great Wilt Chamberlain. Number 5.
LeBron now 5th all-time in scoring in NBA history, as you already passed Wilt Chamberlain. 868 points now to pass Michael Jordan ahead of him on that list. Still, obviously, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, number 1. Karl Malone, number 2. And Kobe Bryant, number 3. But after the game, Luke Walton handing out a little bit of praise to LeBron.
To do what he did and get on that top 5 of that list and play basketball the way he plays basketball, with how unselfish he is and how great he is with getting his teammates involved, is something that should be praised and talked about, and I'm sure it will be. So it's just, I'm doing my part congratulating one of the all-time greats on a great accomplishment.
Well said. Luke or coach or whatever he calls you.
Definitely calls him Luke.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right, Bill's kid. Thanks.
I think he calls him bro. What's up, bro?
LeBron James, though, speaking after the game. It wouldn't be a LeBron James accomplishment if we weren't reminded about where he came from.
I don't know how I feel right now. I'm happy we were able to get another win. But anytime my name is mentioned, with some of the greats that played this game, you know, I always think back to my hometown of where I come from, how far I've come. So that's it for me.
Do you think that they played that song, Where I Come From, that country western song by famed country star Gene Watson? Do you know that song?
No, I don't. I don't know anything about that song.
From Akron, you know.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Single mother and all that?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Patrick Mahomes was mic'd up this past weekend. And every time that I get to hear, like, Patrick Mahomes in his natural element when he thinks that we're not listening,
yeah,
I just fall more and more in love with Patrick Mahomes. Here's Patrick Mahomes during warm-ups as he's kind of just chucking the rock around the field.
Dime. Dime. Dime.
It's pretty solid.
I love that.
It was pretty solid. Also, Dustin Colquitt, I couldn't find it for some reason. I was scrambling to get this cut right. But Dustin Colquitt thanked him for allowing him to punt last week as well. Very nice of him.
Well, I think Dustin is questioning his worth right now for this team.
Oh?
What do we need a punter for?
You think we could just have Butt Kicker do it?
Yeah.
I mean, Dustin Colquitt's a hell of a guy. We can find him something else to do.
Or you just go for it on fourth down every time.
Interesting. Final one for you. We talked about it a little bit earlier. I don't know who cares, because that's what the text line seems to think. But reports yesterday out of Seth Wickersham out of ESPN, Patrick Mahomes does have one terrible flaw. Apparently, he enjoys putting ketchup on his steaks.
Correct.
Twitter did note that he did throw 6 touchdowns at Heinz Field. So
that might very good.
He owns that place.
That's an interesting correlation there. Let's just let him do him. while he has to go into Heinz Field.
Well, it's gonna evolve now to the next level where my wife claims to know, and she can tell the difference between Heinz and Hunt's and special recipe and no, all
she
the
can't.
She can't. I've been slipping Hunt's to her for the last couple of years.
Slipping right her now. The Hunt's, yeah. Huh?
But I've been secretly buying Hunt's and putting it in the Heinz bottle.
We've replaced Fesco's wife.
Right. She has no idea that I've been doing that for the last couple of years.
You think if she found out, she'd react like Chris Farley in that Folgers Crystals commercial on SNL?
Yeah. So she has no idea that I've been doing that. I've been refilling the ketchup bottle. Back when I was in grade school, we had a teacher's aide, and it was Tara Casey's mom. And she used to bring her ketchup bottle from home and fill it up at the school with the big ketchup pump, you know, that they have out for the kids to use. And she used to steal the ketchup at school. I'll never forget it. Like, what? Your mother's stealing the ketchup.
Yeah, that happens. A16 has over 300 yards passing on 90% of the games he's played and over 30 touchdowns. Pat can put ketchup on his Oreos, and I wouldn't give a damn. I'm 100% with you, Texter. You do you, Patrick. If you want to sit there drinking ketchup out of the bottle on the sideline.
Oh, I'd rather have him do that than put it on a steak. And if you're going to do it on a steak, don't get a good steak. Get
are you eating the steak? Why are you so personally offended by
it? Just because you're supposed to savor the steak. You put a little butter on it. Tremendous. You're spending $50 for like a 6-ounce filet at some of these places. Why are you doctoring that up with ketchup?
That's how he likes it, Bob. It's just how he likes it.
Then
I think about it like the way people take their coffee. Like, I know you don't put anything
black
in your coffee,
yeah,
right?
Black.
I go black, you know, like one scoop of sugar. That's it. Some people like cream, Bob.
That's fine. I don't have a problem with that. That's all normal. But, like, ruining a good steak with ketchup, I just, no.
I think this is another, marketing opportunity for Lee Steinberg. Go get the kid a ketchup sponsorship, man.
That's kind of where it's going, I would think. Like, if you're not Hunt's or Heinz and you haven't been on the phone yet.
Yeah, I'm definitely signing him up.
Or special recipe.
I want him throwing my bottles of ketchup around on the commercial.
Right, absolutely you do.
Today.
Today. Not yesterday. Yeah. No, yesterday you wanted it to happen. Yeah. Like, it should have already been done.
Well, he's reluctant to pick up all those sponsorship opportunities.
Right.
They're taking it easy as they let him build his career. Uh-huh. No, you get him a bottle of ketchup in his hand, he's chucking it down the field.
Right.
That's good. That's good.
Catching it and then putting it on his steak.
Yes.
480, yeah, ketchup's mostly corn syrup. You want to put that on your steak? No, I don't. But I don't care what Patrick Mahomes puts on a steak. As a matter of fact, I'm willing to bet that Patrick Mahomes is so popular, he's going to make putting ketchup on your steak popular.
Yeah, all the kids are going to be putting ketchup on their steak.
They are.
They're all going to have the Hosmer haircut, like, putting ketchup on their steak.
Like peeing your pants.
That's right. That's right. Everybody my age pees their pants.
Yeah.
He's doing it.
Headlines brought to you by Kriegel Mesh Diamonds. You can check them out at KriegelMeshDiamonds.com.
Two big-time quarterbacks go toe-to-toe on Monday. What will separate them? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
Hey, we're trying to get 1,000 Kansas City families fed with Della Lamb's Operation Thanksgiving. 610 Sports Radio will be out today. Old Shawnee Pizza in Lenexa from 10 to 6. That's for Show and Vern and The Drive this afternoon from Old Shawnee Pizza. Old Shawnee Pizza offering a $10 gift card for every turkey that's donated in their locations in Lenexa and Shawnee. You can go visit the guys from Show and Vern and The Drive. Beginning at 10 to 6 today, Old Shawnee Pizza in Lenexa. Come drop off a turkey, get a $10 gift card to use at Old Shawnee Pizza. Or you can go to 610sports.com and donate as well to Della Lamb's Operation Thanksgiving. $15 buys a turkey. $35 will buy a meal for an entire family in need here in the Kansas City area. So go to 610sports.com for all of the details.
And if you can't make it out today to do that, we'll also be out at Red Robin on Sunday on 135th Street. I'll be there from 11 until 12. Then Fanning will be there from 12 until 1. And Show will be there from 1 until 2 collecting donations as well. And you'll get a free appetizer on Sunday. Dine in only at Red Robin if you bring out a turkey and help us feed families here in Kansas City for the holidays.
That big stack of onion rings.
Oh, there you go.
So we understand people are still making the trek to Mexico City. You made that trip. Mm-hmm. You're going to be going. There's no game now. The game got moved to L.A., but we're going to help.
Right.
There are other things to do in Mexico City. We'll help plan your itinerary for you, Ryan.
That's right. I've been doing some exhaustive research, making sure that you have something to do in Mexico City when you're down there. If you're there and you're in the city, why not check out the National Museum of Anthropology?
Ooh.
Has some of the best Mayan exhibits. You're talking, it's considered one of the world's most comprehensive natural history museums, famous for its Mayan exhibits. 23 exhibition halls, 4 square kilometers of anthropology for you to venture through. A 2018 Traveler's Choice on TripAdvisor. Oh, so there, check there that out. And if you'd like a little nightcap, You can swing by La Casa del Cine and catch a showing of Tamara and the Ladybug.
Nice.
It's going to be there all week, so be sure to check that out. I have no idea what that movie's about, but the trailer looked interesting.
All right. We'll have more Mexico City tourist
destinations
you as the show rolls along this morning, because there are still a lot of people that are headed down there.
There's no game, but there's still a lot to do.
That's right.
Don't all waste of the these, trip. La Casa del Cine, they only show like a movie once. That's it.
That's cool.
Limited engagement.
I'm assuming they have like 2 screens. There you go. La Casa del Cine.
You put a demand on it. You make them go to it. If they miss it, it's on them.
All right. Two big-time quarterbacks going toe-to-toe on Monday. Jared Goff, who I was skeptical of, you know, he was like a known commodity heading into this year. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. You know, he had that breakout year last year. Like, can he replicate? Yeah, he's played really well.
Sure.
He and Pat Mahomes have some similar yards per game, points per game. I don't know if Goff, West Coast, maybe, I don't know. He's not as much attention, apparently, as Mahomes does.
Correct.
But these are two big-time quarterbacks going toe-to-toe Monday night.
It should be a lot of fun to watch these two guys. I'm excited about it. I you know, the future of the NFL, Josh, and for so many years, we talked about and looked at each other and went, who's going to take over after Roethlisberger and Manning and Brady and all of these guys leave? Where's that next wave of quarterbacks? And for a while there wasn't a next wave of quarterbacks. You had your Jameis Winstons, you had your Jamarcus Russells, you had your Matt Barkleys, you had your Tim Tebows, like all of these guys that you thought were going to be good or had an opportunity to be good.
Johnny Manziel.
Yeah, you had all these guys that just flamed out right before our eyes, and it started to become this vicious cycle of guys were not making the jump from college to the pros, and you were doing a lot of retreading going on in the NFL, and all of those retreads then we're starting to get old. And I think what we saw now in the NFL is a lot of smart coaches have taken over these offenses, and they're realizing, why should we make our quarterback learn a system that maybe they're not comfortable with? We should adapt. It's easier for us as coaches to adapt to them than it is to adapt for us. And we want to see success right away, and we want to put guys in position to be successful. So you're seeing a lot of these coaches now adapt offenses to the skill sets that their quarterback has instead of trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. And now we're starting to see that new wave of quarterbacks emerge, because I think the thinking of some head coaches has changed a little bit. You got your Goffs, you got your Wentzes, you've got your Mahomes right now. You've got a lot of guys right now. You throw in Mitchell Trubisky into the mix as well, of guys that are kind of this new wave of quarterback in the National Football League that can now take over for the Roethlisberger, Brady, and Manning crew when they decide that they're done and retire. You know the league's going to be in good hands, and we've got our new stars at that position.
Former quarterback, now with ESPN, Tim Hasselbeck. Mahomes and Goff, very similar in points per game, yards, but they go about it in different ways.
He's just a physically more talented athlete. There is no question about that. But I think when you look at Jared Goff, you know, what makes him unique is that he has a calmness about him in the pocket, and there's, you know, certainly something to just kind of being poised in a pocket when you have people around you and they're static, and just those kind of subtle movements of playing the quarterback position, and he does that probably as well as anybody. And so I think you have two guys. I mean, it's kind of startling, the numbers you had up there in terms of how similar the production is, but they do it in very different ways. You know, Mahomes punishes you by being able to hit areas of the field that other quarterbacks can't, and then it's more of a methodical, on time and rhythm type of thing for Jared Goff.
He punishes you. I love that.
That's a good way to, because he does punish you, because it is a punishment when you think you've got the play won as a defense, and then all of a sudden Patrick Mahomes throws to the back of the end zone and finds a guy, you know, across the field or something bizarre, and you're like, how are we supposed to defend that? It really does deflate you. It deflates your team. It deflates your fans. It deflates your stadium if you're playing on the road. It's really a remarkable trait that this kid has that a lot of guys don't have in the NFL. That deflatability that he has to commit to a team is just remarkable, man.
He leads the league in deflatability.
He does.
Hasselbeck on which quarterback is in for a tougher night on Monday.
I really think it's Patrick Mahomes who's in for a tougher night. If you look at these defenses that both guys will face, both of them can rush the passer. The difference is that when you face the Rams, they really rush the passer better inside. And we always talk about Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh. And listen, it just when you have interior pressure, it just makes it so much harder for you to escape and create. Now they've added Dante Fowler Jr., who's a very good edge rusher. And so think about what we've seen from Mahomes this season, the ability to escape and create and make plays. It's one of the things that he does so well. But now it's just the challenge of escaping, I think, is at another level. Whereas with edge rush pressure, you can deal with it other ways. So both teams will have to have a plan for it. And I would think that Kansas City's plan for it is going to be a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, and I think that's the way to go about it, too. I think Kareem Hunt is the answer to winning this football game on Monday night, and I've thought it all along because, you know, with the injuries that are on the offensive line and the talent that is on the defensive line for the Rams, I think the best way to win a football game against the Rams right now is to run the football. When you got a guy like Kareem Hunt that's able to get out there and run the football like he's capable of doing, I think you do have to give a heavy dose of Kareem Hunt. The other thing that he talked about there is that Mahomes' best attribute is escape and create plays. I don't think that's his best attribute. I think that's who he is as a quarterback. I think that's what makes him special, to be able to get out there and make the play that nobody else can make, to keep a play alive, to keep a play moving down the field. Like, every time you think a play is dead with Mahomes, think again. He finds a way to create something, and the perfect example of that is that left-handed pass that we saw in Denver back at the beginning of October. When he made that play, that was a play that was dead. That was a play that should have been a drive killer right there for the Kansas City Chiefs, but he found a way to make a play. And when you have a guy at that quarterback position who can find ways to make plays and extend drives, it's really remarkable what you can accomplish, and we're seeing it right before our eyes with 35 points per game.
Something else makes 15 very unique, and a former QB comes to the O-line's defense. That's next.
Fesco in the morning.
Binkley last night, Bink at Night, right here on 610 Sports Radio. He talked with Seth Wickersham of ESPN.
Also had a lengthy interview with Gary Pinkel.
Yes, he did. Really, in depth, yes.
Really in depth on that. Wow. Deep dive with the Pinkster.
Yes, of course. Talking football.
That sounded dirtier than I wanted it to, by the way.
I understand. Wickersham, though, on what makes Patrick Mahomes, in his opinion, unique.
Not to put him in this category yet, but you know, you look at the three quarterbacks playing now that you know are going to be in the Hall of Fame, right? You got Brady, you got Breeze, you got Aaron Rodgers. All of those guys had moments in their careers when football easily could have gone on without them. They were broken before they were great. Whereas Patrick has just sort of experienced life always being able to throw a football long and well. And I find that so interesting because he has improved better than all of the people in his peer group that have made it to the NFL also. But when you go back and watch his clips from high school, it's like he's doing the exact same thing. And so I wonder, like, how much the game has actually changed for him. It reminded me a lot of watching Barry Sanders play, where you watched him play as a little kid, and he was doing the exact same things he ended up doing later in life on an NFL football field. And to go through life like that, where, you know, the uniforms change and the scenery changes, but the game and the throws are essentially the same, is a really, really unique way to go through.
There you go. Another comparison. Barry Sanders. I like that. I like that. It's very natural. The game's very natural to him. And others, I mean, you point out Brady. I mean, look what Brady went through in college. Didn't play a ton in college. Lost the starting job there. Like he said, those are kind of broken moments. And not saying that everything's, but Mahomes is just doing, well, I would say Randy Moss too. Go back and watch like Randy Moss, like, high school videos,
yeah,
you're like,
that's a good
oh my
one.
God, he's like a freak then. Like, how
LeBron James high
LeBron
school
James,
videos. Yeah.
Those types of things. I think you have those certain athletes where you go, wow, wow, they were at a different level then, and they continue to be at a different level now.
Right. We were yesterday taping another edition of the KC Bobcast with Otis Birdsong, who used to obviously play with the Kansas City Kings and is going into the College Basketball Hall of Fame this weekend. And he played at the University of Houston and had a nice career in the NBA. And I said, when did you realize you were good, you know, at basketball? And he said, well, it was probably ninth grade or something like that. And I said, oh, because of all the hard work and practice and stuff like that. He goes, no. He goes, because it was a gift. I was born with the ability to do this kind of stuff. And there's a lot of guys, like Tom Brady had to work to get where he is. I think Phillip Rivers had to work hard to get where he is. Not that they didn't have some God-given abilities, but some of those guys have to work really hard. There are guys that are just naturally born and naturally gifted and naturally superstars in sports. And I hate to jump the gun on this, but we're seeing that right now here in Kansas City. It's not because Patrick Mahomes was coached the right way or not because Patrick Mahomes studies his playbook better than anybody else. He's got natural given abilities that even the greatest of coaches can't coach. Even the greatest of teachers can't teach. And even the greatest of educators can't educate on. I mean, this is a guy who goes out there and just plays the way that he does because he was born with those abilities.
Michael Jordan. How long have you been hot?
Michael Jordan was born with the ability to dominate. LeBron James was born with the ability to dominate. I think we're watching Patrick Mahomes right now, who was born with that ability to dominate. I mean, the kid was traded from one T-ball team to another for two prospects at the age of four. People recognized it back then. People saw it back then that he was going to be this unbelievable, remarkable athlete. And he's just taking it to the professional ranks right now. I'm not saying Mahomes doesn't work hard, but a lot of what we see
is still it, is what you do with it.
Right, it is. Yeah. Right. But a lot of it is just natural instinct and God-given abilities that if you worked as hard as Patrick Mahomes or harder than Patrick Mahomes, Josh or Ryan or me, we could never, ever, ever come close to doing what Patrick Mahomes does on the football field. And that's because he was born with the ability to do that. And when Otis Birdsong was telling me that yesterday, I'm like, I appreciate you being honest about this and not giving me some kind of, well, if you work hard and put your mind to it, you can accomplish anything.
You can if you don't have talent.
Because if you're born with it, you can, sure.
No, but I'm saying you can do those things if you don't have talent, but if you have talent, you can do your talent and then accentuate it and get yourself the next level.
I don't care how hard I work. I'm not beating Usain Bolt in the foot.
Right, right. Like, and that's what I'm saying. I'm not throwing
a football 80 yards just by working hard.
Right. We sell this line of, well, if you work hard, you can accomplish anything you want. That's really not the case.
That's
exactly right. That's really not the case.
Find a different position.
Well, yeah, do something else. But you got to be born with the ability to do it. And Patrick Mahomes is born and one of these generational type players that we're witnessing.
The crazy thing, too, to me, we kind of joked about it. A couple of weeks ago? Someone had put out an article about how did so many teams pass on Patrick Mahomes? And we're like, well, all nine of them? Yeah, that was a lot of teams. But to me, when I look at it, I do kind of beg the question, though, of like, are we no longer using the eye test? Because there are so many metrics that are now put into scouting that people kind of miss what's right in front of their face. And if you listen to what Wickersham's saying, he's like, go look at the tape of him in high school. Go look at the tape of him in college. He's doing the same things. Like, that type of ability is just something that you can't teach, you know? And what's the old adage in sports? You can't teach speed.
Right.
There's certain other things you can't teach as well. And some of those,
instinct.
Like,
you can't coach instinct. Like, what he does is not because Andy Reid is saying, now, if you go left and then come back right and go left and come back right again, DeMarcus Robinson will be streaking across the back of the end zone and you'll find him. No. That's natural. That's instinct.
But that also scares a lot of especially NFL teams. They have been slow to adapt to that. They rub on. Patrick Mahomes hadn't taken the ball under center.
Wow.
Freelances too much.
Right. Yeah. Played at Texas Tech. They don't
play at Texas Tech. Runs in a loose system. Doesn't have to read as much. Just all those things. And the NFL is learning. You can flip that on its head by doing those types of things at the NFL level that's actually working for a long time that they told us would never work.
Right, and because coaches are realizing right now their shelf life isn't that long, and the best way to get success is to adopt to what players do best and put them in the situations that they're comfortable in that they succeed in. If you tried to change Patrick Mahomes' throwing motion like they did with Aaron Rodgers, or you tried to convert him to being an under-the-center type of quarterback, you're hindering what he does well, and you're changing him into a quarterback that would probably fail at this level. Why not go out there and let a guy be the way that they are when they've experienced all that type of success and adjust to him? And I give the NFL coaches credit that are adjusting and making it about putting the plan in place that best fits the players instead of making the players learn their system that they've been running for 25 years and it's always been successful.
A guy that got drafted or you're counting upon to be, especially at a quarterback position, right, has had success, correct?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Let's let him do what he does.
So it's natural to think about, but it's taken a long time. It is definitely taking a long time. I remember a number of years ago, the spread and the NFL people are freaking out. Like, I don't know why all these teams are running spread. We're not going to run that crap.
Right. I mean, all the time you heard that from coaches. Oh, it's a waste of time.
We're not running that stuff in the NFL. It's a waste. We're not going to get anybody that can play at the next level,
right,
because they're all running spread.
Right.
They're not going to be able to do it. Well, we've seen them adapt.
Right.
Them adapt to running some spread concepts because that's what's coming from the college
because
ranks.
These kids have been doing it for 4 or 5 years at the collegiate level.
And maybe longer in the state of Texas.
Sure.
Give me a break.
And then you're going to go to the NFL where if you don't win today, you're out of a job.
Mahomes, his whole life. You play football in the state of Texas, you're running a lot of these systems very early on.
Yeah.
So it only makes sense that they adapted, but it took the NFL a while to do it. I mean, it was less than 10 years ago, Bob, where everybody was still going, they can't run spread.
I know, Josh. We talked about it.
None of this stuff. Under center, can't do it. Can't do it.
I remember us having the conversation of where are we going to find the next quarterback?
Why are they out of quarterbacks? Yeah. Well, because nobody's running any pro-style sets that NFL coaches want.
Right.
And now they're being a little more flexible about it and also finding success in it.
Yep. So
realizing that it's okay to put people in their comfort level of – And it's okay to be put in a comfort level of something you have achieved in the past.
Yeah, it's all right. There's nothing wrong with doing
it's
that.
It's one thing to have somebody comfortable, in your workplace, whatever. Oh, they're comfortable doing their job. They've always done it that way. They suck at it.
Right.
You know, these are people that accomplish things, say quarterback, to put themselves in position to be a high drive pick. They've done some things right. You can't say they haven't. So let's find out what they do well and accentuate it. It's smart coaching.
And if you think that if your team wins the Super Bowl and somebody sits back and goes, well, they did it with the spread off, nobody's going to know. Nobody cares. I mean, the only people that really care about that kind of stuff are nerds and dorks that are sitting there anyway studying this stuff. The average fan doesn't care if you run out there with three guys on the field, if you're scoring a touchdown every play and you're scoring points and winning games. What's it matter? So I really, like, especially Andy Reid, who's 60 years old, for a 60-year-old man who's been doing this at the NFL level for as long as he had, to basically look at Mahomes and go, hey, you know what? And Alex Smith and when he got here to Kansas City to basically change things around and evolve as a head football coach, I can't stress how much that means to me and how great that is for Andy Reid to be able to do this late in life, to realize, hey, let's change some things up again and let's work towards the kids instead of the kids working towards us.
Are we going to play a soundbite, I believe, directly for your wife?
Correct. This is directly for my wife.
Rich Gannon.
Let's set the table.
All right.
My wife hates Eric Fisher.
Thinks he stinks.
Thinks he's terrible.
Okay.
Thinks he's the worst thing ever put on a football field.
Okay.
And this is what we fight about. We don't fight about the children or, other things that husbands and wives fight about. We go to bed angry
personnel.
At each other over Eric Fisher.
Over personnel.
Right.
That's fair.
Rich Gannon appears on The Drive Wednesdays at 4:30. He comes to the defense of the Chiefs' tackles.
The other thing that we probably don't talk enough about is the offensive line play. And, the Chiefs have, I think, when you look at the tackle tandem, I think that, in fact, this is an interesting comment. We were talking to Von Miller, and he made the comment. He said he thought the Chiefs have the best pair of tackles in football. You look at Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz.
That's coming from the best pass rusher in football right now, saying that Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz are the best pair of tackles in all of the NFL. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, Jen. I just snapped in the Z formation, too.
So be it.
Boom.
I will now claim my prize.
Scoreboard.
Bob won. I
don't think there's any.
Jen, nothing.
Any prize there. There's no prize.
Oh, I'm a prize.
We'll find a prize. Okay. We'll get out of the prize closet. Let them breathe. Some tips for Kansas City. Coming up next.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Fesco in the morning.
Yes, sir.
You in trouble or not? Did you get text?
I did not get a text. Yeah. I did send her a text, though. I said, yeah. No response.
It is kind of getting ready for school time,
it
too.
It is. It's right about kind of that drop-off time. Or right now, Josh, here's what's going on. I'm not wearing those shoes.
I don't need a coat.
I don't want those socks.
So good luck to all the parents right now. Yeah. Including my wife.
We talk about it all the time. Like, we are so fortunate. Oh. That we don't have to deal with it.
My kids would never make it anywhere on time if it was me. My wife gets them there all the time. But school, we would never be on time if it was just me at home.
If we have a 2 o'clock soccer game and my wife is doing something and I'm in charge of getting the kids ready, I start at 9 a.m. And they go, why do we need to get ready so early? I go, because it takes you literally all day.
Yeah.
And you know how pain in the ass it is to get their soccer socks on over the shin guards, right? Like, we need to invent something different, like just a slip-on thing and then a different thing.
They have the socks that already have them built in.
Yeah, they do have some of those.
Yeah, but they're still, it's just not easy.
They never match the team wear.
Right, no. Exactly. That's the other thing, too. You got to have the right kit.
And how the exact opposite of my home, buddy.
And then how many texts does it take for you to get the answer of where stuff is? That's my
thing. Oh, it's the worst.
I can't find the shin guards. Where are the shin guards?
If people want to know why I'm drinking at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, it's because I've got anxiety building up inside of me because we can't find the shin guards that we wore 2 days ago.
We would never get out of the house if I were home.
A little margarita makes that go away.
It's better for everyone around.
I always tell them, where are your shin guards? I don't know. And then it turns into tears. I'm like, why are we crying? Because we don't know where our shin guards are. That's your responsibility.
And I'm sure there's tons of families like this. We are currently missing a bag that I know includes a set of shin guards and a pair of socks that I can't find.
Now, I will say you are in the move process.
This has nothing to do. There's a missing bag that I know has the socks we're looking for, and I know has the shin guards, so we cannot find it.
Uh-huh.
No idea where it's at.
The answer for them is always, well, it's in mommy's car.
Yes, right? Yes, that's exactly. My son's answer is like, well, last time I had it, put it in the back of mom's car. Well, it's not there now, so explain this one to me, Junior. Right.
My wife was at something about like an hour south, some craft fair. So I don't know what she was at, about a couple weeks ago, right? And she was like an hour south of here. And so this is me getting ready for the 2 o'clock game at 9. I said, okay, where are the shin guards? Let's have all this stuff ready. It's in mommy's car. I said, all right, well, let's get in the car and we'll go down and get it. And so I called my wife. I said, that's not in my car. Of course, my wife was right in the room. Like, literally, you had to step over it to get in the door.
I swear I was more organized as a kid.
I don't think so.
Probably wasn't.
No.
I choose to believe I was.
Right.
But kids are a mess.
It's unbelievable. Like, God love all the parents who are right now kicking the kids out of the car at the school going, woohoo, we survived another day.
More credit to the ones that don't even stop. That just
kick them out.
Of the door.
Yeah.
Shove the foot.
Get out.
I don't know how you do it.
Yeah, God love you moms and dads who get the kids off the school. Because Josh and I don't know about you, Ryan. I mean, I don't know if you can pull it off either.
I'm not as inept as you are.
Well, you do have two boys, though. I've got two girls. He's got a boy and a girl. I think it's different with boys than it is with girls.
Yeah, my kid leaves the house with what I like to call mad scientist hair every day.
Mm-hmm.
He's at that age where, like, he doesn't care about his appearance whatsoever.
It's a great spot in life.
Yeah.
Just wear whatever
you want. But that doesn't go for girls, though.
I mean, just wake up, brush your teeth, you pick out whatever mismatched clothes you want to wear,
and go.
You're out the door.
It's the best.
Yeah. And I don't care.
Was it like that for your son, too?
Oh, yes.
But not for your daughter?
No, daughter, no. Absolutely not.
Right. So I got two girls. Today is picture retake day. So they're doing their hair different today than they did in the first pictures because they didn't like their hair. So now they're doing the redos with different hairstyles.
I'm sorry you have to deal with that, Bob.
Different outfits?
Same outfit. Yeah, okay. Same outfit.
Do they still let you choose those cool laser backgrounds?
Oh, they
or is that only in the 90s?
They had a background this year that I was going to order because I was hysterically laughing at it. One was just like the American flag. It looked like they were running for political office.
Can you still get those done? Like, I would like to get, like, grade school style photos done of myself nowadays.
I think if you go to Sears or someplace. I would think.
Can we do that? Can we do that as a show?
We should.
Stand together as a show. Send out our Christmas cards.
Let's pick an afternoon and go over to the Sears.
I've been talking for 6 years about making a Christmas card. Yeah. Nobody listens to me.
So. Digital Brad could do it in the green room, I'm sure, for us.
It'll be done by March.
Well, whatever you need.
Have that Christmas card in March.
Fesco, you have some advice for Kansas City.
I do, yeah. And this, like, it's all been all about ketchup and steak, you know, in the last 24 hours. And we'll talk to one of the executive chefs for Red Door Grill at 9 o'clock this morning about ketchup on a steak and get, you know, a real insider's opinion on that. But I was reading this article yesterday about Mahomes and the ketchup on the steak, and I came to this line in the article. It says, the reason this tidbit came up is because the quarterback is worried about everyone watching his every move and including putting some Heinz on a ribeye, right? And he's putting ketchup on a steak, and he's like, I got to sneak around and put ketchup on a steak because everybody is watching my every move. Mm-hmm. And I remember
it's a good cut of meat, though. Good pick by you, Pat.
The ribeye, I love a ribeye, man. If you could get a great ribeye, oh, gosh.
And fantastic. He was justified in doing that because it's all over the place now. So, yeah, he was on it.
Who was on it?
Mahomes.
With what? I'm sorry.
He knew he had to to kind of keep it under wraps,
yeah,
because it'd be a thing.
Right.
It's a thing.
And it's a thing. He knows that everybody, and he mentioned it, everybody's watching my every move. Mm-hmm. And I read that, and I went, I don't like that. I'm not a big fan of that because I'm going to relay a story that I heard out at Kauffman Stadium in early 2017, right? The year that Hosmer was going to become a free agent, right? That was last year, right? And so I'm out there and I'm talking to some folks and I'm, you know, everybody at that point in time is discussing, do you think they're going to be able to re-sign Hosmer? Do you think this guy's going to be able to re-sign? So everybody's talking about, that was the theme of 2017, right? And I remember somebody telling me that said that they had talked to Hosmer, and one of the big things that was swaying him to go somewhere else, and this was somebody's, again, opinion based on a conversation, was that while he appreciated it, Hosmer wanted to go to a bigger city where every move wasn't watched and every move wasn't scrutinized and every moment that he was out in the public eye wasn't talked about and wasn't discussed. Could blend in a little more, where it wasn't as, you know, where he was more unrecognizable than recognizable. And I remember somebody telling me, they said, man, he appreciates it. He likes it. It's all good and all that kind of stuff. But there are some times where you wish you could just go out to dinner and just have dinner and have nobody recognize or figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. I'm like, are we too overbearing for our athletes in Kansas City? Like, we're showing them love. We're showing them love. We're showing them love. But are we showing them too much love? It's almost like as a guy, when you chase a girl and chase a girl and chase a girl, she wants nothing to do with you. But the minute you ignore her, well, then all of a sudden she's calling, going, hey, how come you're not chasing me anymore? You know, they like that ignoring aspect of it. And I saw that Mahomes says he has to sneak around because, he, you know, everything is being scrutinized already. We're 10 games into the career. And I'm like, boy, I don't want him to get to the point where we as a fan base are so enamored with this guy that we come to the point where we're too overbearing. He's like, I got to get the hell out of there because I can't even go eat a steak with ketchup without being scrutinized for it. And the Hosmer story came back immediately to me as I read that. I went, boy, maybe we need to let off the gas a little bit, let our guys kind of live their lives so we don't become this overbearing sports fan that is chasing these guys out of town.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think quarterback position is different because you pay your guy and he's going to stay. I don't think you're going to run off a quarterback necessarily, but I think it's good advice anyway. Like, they are people. Just kind of let them be. You don't always have to take a picture with people.
Right.
You don't always have to bug them. Yeah, I think they want to be acknowledged. You know, the best acknowledgement is just to go, hey.
Yeah.
And that's it. Don't ask for an autograph. Don't get a selfie. Don't just kind of let them be.
Right.
And I think that's they do ultimately want to be recognized.
Sure.
But give them acknowledgement that you recognize them.
Right.
And move on.
Send over a glass of wine or a salad or something like that to them. But you're right. Like, the selfie thing is perfect. Like, if somebody's out to dinner, like, say Mahomes is out to dinner and he's sitting there, don't go up to him and go, hey, can I get a selfie? You know, like, sometimes you just got to let these guys be. And I read that about Mahomes saying that. I remembered the Hosmer story being told, and it was like Toronto. Like, somebody said he really wanted to go to Toronto because there it's just a huge city and he could just kind of blend in and not be recognized everywhere he went. And I didn't realize, like, that was a bad thing. I'm like, man, are we doing something that's not right? Like, we love our athletes. We want our athletes to know that we love them. And I think, you know, a little bit of that is that we've never had it really athletes love us back in return. They've all just kind of came here and collected their check and left, you know, the minute that they could. And when we have a good one and a great one like Mahomes, like Hosmer, where we want to show them how much we love them so they stay here, But sometimes you can be a little too overbearing.
Let it breathe.
Yeah, let it breathe a little bit is exactly right.
We'll have the Chiefs story we all forgot. That's coming up next.
Fesco in the morning.